We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Abner Mahrez is a world champion boxer, Olympian, sports commentator, but most importantly, a dad to two little girls. Beloved by abuelas and hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world both in and out of the ring. On Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Mahrez, we'll hear from Abner, his family, fellow athletes, and other people who made him the boxer and man that he is today. And, you know, for myself, I'm a hashtag girl dad just like Abner. I can relate to everything he's got to say on that topic, being a husband, the whole nine yards, man, the family business that he gets into, and it hits home for me. So it's definitely worth the listen, if and only if you're not even interested in the boxing, you just want to hear about being a dad and being a husband and some real life stuff. It hits home for me. Make sure that you listen to On the Hook with Abner Mahrez wherever you get your podcasts. Episodes in English out on Tuesdays and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesdays. Again, that is On the Hook with Abner Mahrez.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Nice Trade Cast on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by our friends over at Blue Wire, Pepsi, Indeed, and Bet Online. Well, folks, week six, it's in the books. We referenced, I believe last week's episode was titled, Is It Week 7 Yet? Commissioners, you can taste, I mean, not everyone has the same rules that I do, but commissioners can taste that week 7, that's the NFL. Takes all our money and say, it's been a full season. They can taste that week 7. It's just, oh, it's so close, Dan.
I know. We're almost all about to be scammed. No, that's not what's happening. It's there, though. It is right there. So be prepared for things to come crashing down. Be prepared for your commissioners to kick up the footrest and just, you know, kind of hang on to your money for a while. Wait, we're not supposed to do that.
All right, so it's obviously today we'll be going through some of the big performances of the week, maybe some poor performances as well, but we'll start off with an offense that I feel like it, you know, at we go through stages on this podcast of, you know, talking about different offenses incessantly, and I feel like the Houston Texans offense over the last 4 or 5 weeks have been that offense. They've come up in one form or another several times over the last few weeks, especially, you know, talk about Deshaun Watson with his early season struggles, and then Bill O'Brien got fired. And now we have Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks, who have been playing like two of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Will Fuller, his stat line so far this year, 19.2, 0, 15.4, 22.8, 15.8, and 24.3. So outside of his clunker of a 0, Will Fuller has been nearly unstoppable. And Brandon Cooks has turned on the high gears as of late as well. Now, I feel like Will Fuller, with his injuries, you know, throughout the early part of his career, it is undercutting what his potential dynasty ceiling is. Like, I think with his performances early in this season and what his role can be in that Texans offense, I could see him being a third or fourth round startup pick sooner rather than later. You think that's too high, too much too soon with the injury prone, or do you think that that's valid for his play on the field?
Well, I think there's two things holding that potential massive rise from coming to fruition. His injury stuff, I mean, it's always worrisome. The MO with Will Fuller has always been when he's on the field, he produces, and he produces big. So this is just an extension of that. You know, again, it's only been 6 weeks. Let's talk about it when we have a full season. And obviously, if you're waiting that long, you're not going to get in while he's a value. You're probably not able to get him for super cheap at this point. Anyways, the other issue is, in my mind, he projects as a wide receiver 2 in the NFL. He's not a natural 1. He's more of your big play, stretch the field type guy. He's not someone that overwhelms a defense and takes over. He always seems to do better when he's got a counterpart. So that doesn't necessarily mean that he can't be a 1B, but I just feel like he's more of a wide receiver 2 in an NFL offense. So I can see him getting into that top 50, though, for sure, if he can prove that he can stay healthy. And now we can kind of see what Houston does without being held back by Bill O'Brien. We'll see what they do kind of at the running back position if they continue to just use this lump of crap that they currently have, or if they make some changes. Obviously, the offseason will bring a lot there. We'll see if David Johnson's still the guy, or if they figure something out there. But I definitely can see Will Fuller rising. I just have my reservations about the injury history, and I do believe they'll make some sort of move to bring in a wide receiver, maybe someone like a Juju Smith-Schuster, who would project more like a natural 1 at the position. I think he's going to be walking from Pittsburgh, so he very well could be an option for them to kind of be a de facto replacement for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, and it kind of goes without saying, but with Fuller, the time is not to buy now. Even if his value is catapulting to that third, fourth round value, there's going to be a hamstring pull. There's going to be a concussion. There's going to be something. Even if it's, you know, a short-term thing where he misses a few games, that's where you can pounce semi and you know, capitalize on a dip in value. Because now I'm guessing this is the most expensive Will Fuller has ever been, maybe outside of the first few games of his career.
Yeah, I think that's about right. And maybe following a couple of massive stretches of games, he would skyrocket and his value would inflate immensely there. And who knows what the deal is going to be with Brandon Cooks if he sticks around, or what their plan is to do with the offense. Maybe none of these guys are in the future, you know, plans of the offense. It's kind of a weird year because they get rid of Bill O'Brien. Now they've got extra hiring to do and jobs at stake. So I think the only constant in this offense for the future is Deshaun Watson. I would say I'm about 98% sure Will Fuller will be a part of it, but they could change their mind and make some moves and just kind of overhaul.
Yeah, and with Brandon Cooks, 52 points in the last two games, obviously that's not going to be the norm for him, but it does show that that ceiling that he had early in his career is back. Yes, the floor is there as well with, you know, a four-point game, a five-point game, a zero-point game. But, you know, the injuries are a concern here as well. But when he's on the field, he is a very good NFL wide receiver in an offense that is going to be in high passing volume offense. David Johnson's not going to be a high volume, you know, running back, and the team is going to be losing a lot of games. So yeah, I think for this year, I think Cooks and Fuller are both like high end wide receiver 2s as long as they're on the field.
Yeah. Cooks usage has been super weird. He's either been a down the field stretch it out threat, or he's been like a dink and dunk. He's essentially got two games of each, one game obviously with the goose egg. And I think week 1 was essentially a goose egg as well. So it's been, It's been hot and cold. You know, these both of these guys to me are more best ball type assets. They kind of fit into that Mike Williams mold. And obviously, again, like I talked about with Will Fuller's MO, Brandon Cook's MO is kind of hot and cold, hot and cold. At the end of the year, he's got really strong numbers, and his big games support his bad games. You just have to know which is which, or be able to stick it out and start him 13 times and hope to hit on 7 of them. You know, it's kind of the pace that we run at with Brandon Cooks. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. I think they're definitely both wide receiver twos from a you know, 1 year perspective. I think Will Fuller is going to be in that conversation for top 25 wide receivers, or, you know, a low end wide receiver two. I think he definitely sneaks into that top 50 range for startup. Cooks, you know, it's hard. He's a weird one to go through because of how many teams he's been on, and he just kind of keeps getting traded and just shows up and puts up a 1,000-yard season.
Oh, and by the way, it has been reported that Cook's on the trade block again. So, you know, the shocker of the century.
There's got to be something. There's something that isn't brought public that is apparent with everyone. There just has to be.
Well, this time it makes the most sense, though, because it's a rebuilding team and a veteran. Sure.
But he's only a year old. He's only a year older than Will Fuller. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Will Fuller's 26. Cooks is 27.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. All right, let's move on to Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver rookie T. Higgins. This is a guy that both you and I were very high on throughout the draft process. Was drafted in the early second round to pair with one young Joe Burrow. Now, I think a lot of the expectations were tempered with Higgins because he is a little bit of a raw wide receiver coming out of Clemson. And it was a crowded depth chart in Cincinnati with A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd and John Ross and Auden Tate. There were a lot of guys in that receiving core that were standing in the way of production for T. Higgins. It seems like none of those guys outside of maybe Boyd are going to stand in the way of T. Higgins. T. Higgins, the last few games, 21 points, 13 points, 10 points, 18.7 points in PPR. And even more so impressive, I love to see those big PPR point games when there isn't the touchdown. Scored 6 catches for 125 this past game against Indianapolis, and he was pretty close to the end zone on a deep catch as well. So it's one of those things that T. Higgins is showing why you can't do the whole, all right, I'm going to buy the wide receiver after his rookie year thing, because T. Higgins, I can guarantee you, will be more expensive in year two than he was in year one.
Absolutely, and I think you can officially declare that his breakout week, even though he didn't score. Obviously, we've kind of had a slow build up to this point. It seemed inevitable to me, and I know people always talk about things like you know, he's raw or whatever. The kind of my take with Cam Akers is that he's just not a finished product. He's kind of all potential. T. Higgins for me was someone that I absolutely loved coming out of high school. I've been on him literally since, you know, when we played in those really super deep Debbie drafts. I mean, I think he was a first round pick for me when he went to Clemson in whatever year it would have been. And it's just kind of seemed inevitable that he would become an NFL wide receiver one on a team. I think it makes the most sense to have T. Higgins as a one, Boyd as a two. A.J. Green is all but done. John Ross slots in still nicely as stretching the field. Auden Tate makes a lot of sense as your big red zone guy. And that offense with Joe Burrow, with Joe Mixon, even Giovanni Bernard has been producing a little bit here and there. That offense is ready to go, man. That team is close to being real. Once these guys get some more games under their belts and really start to mesh, this is going to be a scary offense. And I think T. Higgins is going to start to take the league by storm here, kind of like what we've seen with somebody that's going to come up later on the list, another rookie wide receiver. This class is truly going to be special. I know we talked about it for years. All 2020 wide receiver class is going to be the real deal. We had some guys come out of nowhere, some guys kind of fade away, but now everyone's starting to do it. It's really crazy. I see T. Higgins on the rise and a very, very steep incline. I think we're going to be talking about him up in that top 25 ranking here pretty quickly too, as far as wide receivers go.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And if you want to be on the rise, you should check out our friends over at Indeed.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world. because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are known to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire, with 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month. Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million, yes, 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with our $75 credit for free at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. That's BLUEWIRE. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
Now let's move on to a pair of players that play in purple, Justin Jefferson and Irv Smith Jr. These are two guys who I was lower on from a redraft from a short-term perspective because I was so insistent that the Vikings would be a run-heavy offense with Dalvin Cook and Alex Mattison. What I wasn't quite expecting was the Vikings to be one of the worst teams in football, giving Kirk Cousins ample opportunity for garbage time, ample opportunity for volume, which gives the volume to Justin Jefferson and Irv Smith. Now, obviously, Jefferson's been more so the, you know, beneficiary here, but I'm actually more interested in Irv Smith because it does seem like he is now the receiving tight end for the Vikings. They aren't really going to Kyle Rudolph anymore. And so you're no longer relying on, oh, two Vikings tight ends have to be fantasy relevant or two Vikings tight ends have to be productive. It's really just the one. And it's really just, in terms of that passing game, there's three players that catch balls. There's Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and Irv Smith. I don't mean, and the running backs to an extent as well. But the volume that I didn't expect these guys to get, they're getting because they're trailing and because the other pieces in the offense just aren't getting any volume.
Yeah, it's really a weird spot. That team got really bad really fast. And the one thing, I guess, helping the passing game, which certainly isn't Kirk Cousins because, my God, is he bad, is the fact that Mike Zimmer's job is on the line. I'm sure Rick Spielman, their general manager, is in his office saying, hey, man, you got to try something different. This run first, run second, run third isn't going to work. We can't have Kirk throwing the ball 12 times a game. We're paying him $1 trillion to play football here, and he's been horrible, and you're not using him. So I think as long as this team – well, I mean, this week, Zimmer probably should have been fired after this week. But as long as this team kind of has its foot on Zimmer's throat, if you will, they're going to be throwing the ball more. It's going to be to Jefferson. Adam Thielen's a top five fantasy wide receiver on the year right now as well. And Irv Smith is going to be that number three. This, again, kind of like Higgins for me, seemed inevitable. He's such a special player at the position that there was no way you couldn't use him. And they didn't use him for the first month of the season. And that was kind of, I think, when Mike Zimmer's seat got a little bit too hot to deal with. They started to get Irv involved. And maybe he was a little behind. Maybe the lack of training camps and stuff. He's still a young player. Obviously didn't do a whole lot last year, but now this year, you know, another slow start kind of threw us off. And then you get Justin Jefferson. My God, it's his third 100-yard game out of four in, you know, the last month here. He's went 7 for 175 and a touchdown, then 4 for 103. Then he had his stinker, and then he went 9 for 166 and two. This kid's special. At one point, I said he's got Randy Moss swag. Hold on. Now, before everyone shuts the show off, after I say this, just stick with me. He doesn't just have Randy Moss swag. He's got Randy Moss game. He is ridiculous, and it shows how confident he is. He knows when he gets that football, he's going to do what he wants with it. This offense is horrible. There's no space for these guys to work anywhere. He makes room and he makes plays. He is absolutely special, and he may end up being the best wide receiver in this class. I think it's going to be a toss-up between he and CeeDee Lamb, with T. Higgins kind of right on their heels. But Justin Jefferson is special. He is going to catapult up the wide receiver rankings, a lot like we've seen from DK Metcalf. I think that's the company he's going to hold at the end of the season.
Yeah, I feel like last week was, and guys like Ryan McDowell and others, that was the first week where people were like, all right, CeeDee Lamb, he's the wide receiver one dynasty, or the wide receiver two in dynasty behind Metcalf. And if you're putting Lamb there, I don't see how you can put Jefferson any lower than 5-6. I would really have to, you know, go through and revamp, you know, my rankings that don't exist. But I'm going to guess that if I were to put rankings together right now, I think Lamb and Jefferson are both top 8, top 9.
It's almost impossible to argue with that. You know, these guys are 21, 22 tops, and they're producing this way. They're first round picks. There's no reason to believe they're not going to be doing this for a minimum of 4 more years. You have such an amazing window built in on a team that is going to essentially be hamstrung into using them, that not only are they ridiculously talented, but they're going to be force-fed the ball. I think you have to have Jefferson. There's no reason he shouldn't be a wide receiver one in Dynasty right now. You can hold on to your, you know, all of your 27 and however year olds, your Mike Evans and even Chris Godwin at this point. I think I'm sliding both of those guys back. There's going to be a real push and shove here coming down the wire to get the DeAndre Hopkins. Even Mike Thomas, man, slowly turning into Antonio Brown. There's going to be a new wave. We're going to see, I mean, Metcalf might be your wide receiver one. CeeDee Lamb might be a top 3, top 4. Justin Jefferson's probably top 6, top 8. There's not going to be room for these 27 and 28-year-old guys at the top of these wide receiver rankings, especially if you're playing for the long game.
And there's a similarly top-heavy class coming in 2021.
Right, crazy.
Of guys that are just as good as Jefferson and Lamb. You have, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and Rondale Moore and Rashad Bateman. All these guys that have just as much, if not more, potential than the guys that are already doing so well in the NFL.
Yeah, you legitimately have at least 2, maybe 3 super elite talents. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, I'd give him the Hall of Fame coat right now if I could. If Justin Jefferson is doing this right now, and we thought Ja'Marr Chase was worlds beyond Justin Jefferson, I don't know what to think, honestly.
Yeah, and how about the real takeaway? I feel like some people discounted Justin Jefferson because he was in that LSU offense. That discount didn't happen with CEH.
No.
And we're seeing that it should have happened with CEH, and it shouldn't have happened with Justin Jefferson.
Honestly, I was one to discount some of these players. I thought Justin Jefferson was going to be very good. I thought maybe Joe Burrow would struggle. I thought CEH was more of a mediocre type player. I think all of these players legitimately may be in the top 10 or 15 at their position in the NFL, and I'm including Ja'Marr Chase in that. That team was just stupid, and that's why we saw historic numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's move on to another player who I hope puts up historic numbers soon. It's one DeAndre Swift, had 116 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, 3 catches for 7 yards against the Jaguars this past week. It was the breakout party for one DeAndre Swift, the man who you said the Lions running backs can never be successful, therefore DeAndre Swift's a bust, which, I mean, you knew was a bad take as soon as you said it, but Swift is proving that take incorrect pretty quickly. Pretty much as soon as, the head coach decided, maybe let's not give all the carries to Adrian Peterson, which he's still giving ample opportunity to Adrian Peterson. But I think he's finding out pretty quickly that DeAndre Swift is the one that's going to be putting up the yardage in the Lions backfield.
That take, Nathan, hasn't been bad since 1999, all right? Ever since Barry walked, that take has been relevant. And I was just ready for someone to finally prove me wrong. Unfortunately, DeAndre Swift is going to be somebody I'm never going to have a share of now because I'm never going to be able to buy him. I avoided a Lions running back like the plague. It's one of my my lumps and bruises that I consistently have to take. I've fallen in love and been burnt by too many of the players that I've loved. Amir Abdullah, Javid Best, even guys like Mikal LeShure. It always seems like I'm just setting myself up for failure, and I wasn't going to do it. And here we go. We've got DeAndre Swift, who showed incredible tape in college. landed in a, I guess, plus situation, even though Kerryon Johnson's still a living human being. They bring in Adrian Peterson. Matt Patricia is whatever he is as a coach. I don't know whether he's good or bad or otherwise. I would probably lean more towards bad than anything. But they finally gave the kid his looks, and he took advantage. And, yes, it was against Jacksonville, and my God, are they putrid. But points are points, numbers are numbers. You can't look back from this and be like, you know what, let's keep rolling 47-year-old Adrian Peterson out there. And you know what, let's sprinkle in 6 or 7 Kerryon Johnson touches. This should be a DeAndre Swift-led backfield, and there's really no turning back. And if they do turn back, you got to get rid of Patricia.
Now, Dan, you may say, Nathan, you're pretty athletic, right? And I'd say wrong. I don't have the natural athleticism of the 1% of the 1% of the 1% of people who will play professional football. Nathan Powell, not going to play professional football. But instead of joining the NFL, I'm going to join another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. I'm sitting with my Pepsi. I'm watching the Bucks. I've got Chris Godwin coming back to life. Mike Evans is a stud. All the goodness that the Bucks have been doing. The defense absolutely destroyed Aaron Rodgers last week, and it was only made better by sipping on a cool, refreshing Pepsi. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day. I did it with mine, with that Bucks defense, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching.
Well, speaking of players that don't watch, that do actually get to play, we've got one that's been playing pretty darn well. And I think we can maybe blame some of his early career blunders on a former head coach that shall remain nameless. We've got Tennessee Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill playing like an NFL quarterback. We maybe thought that dream was kind of long and dead behind us, but here he is. He's got a couple of nice starts in a row, and he's been leading this team on an absolute charge, man. They've been on a mission after the little COVID business they had going on. Ryan Tannehill comes out, throws for 360, 4 touchdowns, and just an explosive offense. We saw Derrick Henry go absolutely insane, but I think the storyline honestly is Ryan Tannehill might be at least above average.
Yeah, if you would have asked me 2 years ago, will Ryan Tannehill be sitting on his couch drinking a Pepsi, I would have said, yep, that's going to happen. But no, Ryan Tannehill is on the sidelines drinking some, you know, sports beverage. But with Tannehill, there was some reservations to, oh, maybe possibly 2019 was a fluke. He isn't as good as that end of the stretch. Or, you know, honestly, when Henry and Tannehill were both given the contracts, my inclination was Henry just got Tannehill paid. And that is showing that, I mean, it might be just a shared thing. They got each other paid by playing so well down the stretch. And now they're both playing very well. Obviously, 28 fantasy points for Tannehill this past week. Henry had 40. And the reason why I have him on here on the list today is, what are we doing in Dynasty with him? Because, like, I feel like he's not a guy that you're looking at, like, the top 10 Dynasty wide receivers. Like, all right, I mean, top 10 Dynasty quarterbacks are saying, all right, Tannehill's QB9. But, like, at this point, why not?
Yeah, and he's kind of one of those players, too, that seems like he's been around forever. And he's 32, but the life of a quarterback is 36 minimum. I mean, you're playing like this, and he's never really had any – he's maybe had one missed season that I can remember, like 2017 for injury, if my mind serves me correct. So, I mean, yeah, I think there's plenty of tread left on the tires. I think you've got to at least consider him a mid QB2. Think about how much garbage QB play there is right now. And a lot of guys we had propped up super high that just aren't any good. The only thing they have going for them is their age and where their franchises specifically took them and or paid them a second contract. So, I mean, based on this, I think you've got to have them in that mid QB2 range, right?
Yeah, for sure. And he's not a QB2 you have to wait on. He's, you know, producing big numbers right now. And you were right. He missed the 2017 season. That was Jay Cutler season, if you recall.
Yes.
But yeah, Tannehill, I think, has one of the higher floors in among starting quarterbacks today in fantasy. He does have a little bit of rushing upside, had a 42-yard rushing game a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that he is the opposite of name value, that people kind of just cast aside his name as like, oh, he's fine. Like, at this point, people know he's a starter. People know that he's going to put up some points. But I think that his past, you know, badness with Adam Gase has, you know, left a mark that you can probably get him for a late first right now. And like, you're not getting, or that might be a little hyperbolic, let's say a mid first. You can get Tannehill. You would definitely get Tannehill for a mid first right now. And you're not doing that with other top 15 quarterbacks.
Right. So let's just go through the little scenario here. So he's not, I think we can agree he's not a QB one. I can name 12 that I would not take Ryan Tannehill over. Fair.
Yeah, sure.
But Matthew Stafford's 32. Would you take Matthew Stafford over him?
No, I'll take Tannehill there.
Okay.
Because it's all about the floor there. Stafford's weekly floor is garbage. Yeah, Tannehill's weekly floor is much better.
Then you have...
And Stafford's not bad. Like, he has his big games, but the floor just kills your quarterback.
For sure. Cam Newton, I will still take over Tannehill, just because there seems like there's more upside there. Carson Wentz.
I'll take Tannehill.
I'm taking Tannehill. Isn't that crazy to think? Then you have Daniel Jones, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. All of those guys right now are still, and I wouldn't say consensus, but pretty widely considered higher in value. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. You can't have him there. He's probably 14th or 15th as far as I can see in the QB rankings. That's where he has to be. And he's currently in like that 20 to 22 range for most people.
Yeah. And he has as much like long-term job security as any veteran QB does. You know, it's not like he's losing his job anytime soon. He just signed a big contract. So yeah, I mean, I think that we're quietly becoming a Ryan Tannehill podcast. And he goes, sends him offers.
I know, it's weird because I've never been a Ryan Tannehill guy. I gave him away last or two off seasons ago, whatever it was. And here we are.
Now let's go to a pair of current Miami Dolphins, the Miami Dolphins tight ends, Adam Shaheen and Mike Gesicki. Now, I am a draft capital guy, and I'm one who liked Shaheen at his price in his rookie season. But I am honest, I dropped him everywhere after his, you know, not playing and then getting traded to the Dolphins. But that looks like it may have been a mistake because he is now taking targets away from Mike Gesicki, who put up a bagel this week. So you think this is more an indictment on Gesicki, or is Shaheen the real-ish deal?
I think it's a one-week, three-target scenario because we've seen two monster weeks from Gesicki, and this offense has been kind of bipolar, if you will, kind of like when Ryan Fitzpatrick is either hot or cold. It was a weird one. I don't know if maybe something wasn't right with Gesicki for the game, if they were just like, hey, we're up big already, there's not really any reason, because that game was just over fast, and there was really no reason to play him. I mean, I like Adam Shaheen as much as anybody. I think I ended up drafting him way too early in a lot of places and getting burnt by the Chicago Bear tight end bug. I don't think this is an indictment on Gesicki. If people are discounting him, I think it's a great time to buy. I don't think his price has really gone back to, you know, where he was drafted at, honestly. I still think he's relatively low as far as rankings are concerned. But he's been either really bad or amazing this year. He's got two games of at least five catches and 90 yards. He's only got two touchdowns. So it's kind of hot and cold as Miami grows. You know, maybe we'll see him. But again, he's only 25. This, you know, tight ends are, you know, that's like your third or fourth year breakout when we're really looking at it. He had an okay year last year with 50 catches and over 500 yards. I would imagine we're going to see probably something relatively similar to that, maybe upwards of like 700 yards this year. But it's going to be a lot of hot and cold games. I think script really matters in Miami, what these teams are doing. Their game plan seems locked into one or two players pretty much every single time. So if he's a big part of the game plan, then it's his game. But when the tight ends are kind of left out, and then randomly Shaheen gets a couple of grabs on three targets and a tight scores, then, you know, then we start have to have these conversations. So I'm not worried about Adam Shaheen affecting Mike Gesicki at all. I do believe in this situation that talent does win out. I'm not always on that boat, but I think he's such an athletic freak, and we know that he's at least solid as a you know, physical pass catcher, that this should be his job, no questions asked. I think that was just a weird game.
I mostly agree with you, and I think that if anyone is panicking about Gesicki because Shaheen is getting involved, then now is a good time to buy. But I also do think that Shaheen is worth more than your average waiver wire or end of bench tight end at this point. I know it's harder to find, you know, two tight ends that are fantasy relevant in an offense, but he was a very solid prospect. Got picked in the 13th pick in the second round, had a 95th percentile dominator rating in college, and a breakout age in the 59th percentile. So he was a very good prospect, and I know we're a little bit away from that quote-unquote prospect profile, but he's good enough, and there is enough holes on that team that, you know, we still haven't seen much from Preston Williams. And so it's really the Devontae Parker and the tight end show. And so I'd be buying Shaheen if I can get him for a fourth, or, you know, waiver wire bucks or something like that. And that's not really going out on a limb, but at the moment, I think he's worth more than free.
Yeah, I agree. He definitely should be rostered. And if anything, this is going to get him a job in 2021, and likely a good one. He's an unrestricted free agent after the season. He's still on his, technically on his Chicago rookie deal. So this should, if he continues to play, they continue to use him, I think we're going to see more two tight end sets. I think you're going to see a lot of two tight end, and then Devontae and Preston plus whatever backfield they roll out. And I think he remains involved because I do believe he's a good tight end. I don't think he's better as a pass catcher than Mike Gesicki, but he's good. So if anything, maybe even if you're a team that's not contending this year, or even really hoping to make the playoffs, it's a good time to go grab someone like this who can hang out on your bench. You don't have to worry about the bad weeks, the non-existent weeks, whatever, and hope 2021 comes. He finds himself a good job because tight end is kind of weak in the NFL right now. We thought we maybe were going to find ourselves in a nice warm place, but tight end continues to tight end. And here we are. So I think 2021 could be a potentially a decent year, at least for Adam Shaheen. I think this year will just be kind of hit and miss.
What's up, listeners? This is Curtis Patrick. I just wanted to stop by and say thank you for supporting RotoViz Radio. You are the absolute best audience in the business, and I know it. As a special thank you, I'm offering 10% off your next RotoViz subscription. Just use code 2020RVRadio at checkout. That's right. Go to rotoviz.com, click subscribe, and enter code 2020RVRadio at checkout for 10% off. You can even extend your subscription. Oh, and one more thing. If you haven't ever done it, please rate and review the podcast you're listening to right now on Apple Podcasts. It's really easy. It only takes like 10, 15 seconds. Just do it. We'd love to hear your feedback. Now, back to the show.
Alrighty, that should wrap us up for this evening. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Dynasty Tradecast on RotoViz Radio. Make sure to subscribe to RotoViz, rotoviz.com. Promo code 2020RVRadio. Get yourself a pass. Support the pod. Support everybody. And we appreciate you. We love you. And any last words, Dan?
Well, before we go, we should talk about our friends at Bet Online. The wait is finally over. Football is back. And you might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's Blue Wire. BLUEWIRE. All one word. Blue Wire. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Kadosh.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.